This is University Forum. I'm Gene Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our conversation today centers on color and children, and it's inspired by a very colorful book written by one of our guests, Miss Kim Branch, and illustrated by our second guest, Mr. Daniel Ramsey. Welcome, Ms. Branch.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming to talk about this wonderful book. And I'm going to ask you, Ms. Branch, to say what the title of the book actually is.
I am very happy to be the incredible Hugh of Me.
And Hugh is spelled how?
H-U-E.
And what does that actually mean?
Hue means shade of color. So no matter what color you are or you were given in life, you're happy with it, basically.
And the star of this book is named?
Huey.
Huey. And I had a brother named Huey.
Did you?
But he didn't spell it H-U-E.
How did he spell it?
As Hugh spells, H-U-G-H-I-E.
Oh, okay.
But in writing this book and saying you're happy to be the incredible Hugh, what was your purpose and what's the goal of the book? What does it actually say?
Well, the goal of the book is to teach kids at a very young age, when they're just starting to learn about color and difference, that no matter what color, no matter what shape they are, no matter what size they are, ethnic group, it's okay. And it's better than okay. It's good to be happy with what God gave you in life, you know, no matter what shade you are.
But the book doesn't have real people in there. Mr. Ramsey, you did the illustrations on this. How did you get together with Ms. Branch to decide how these pictures would be drawn?
My publisher, Steve Benson, he published my book for me. And I did some illustrations, and I was showing him some illustrations, and he had some different seminars that he had. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Kim Branch was supposed to come to one of the seminars. And she happened to miss it, but I had some of my work on Steve Benson's website. And she happens to notice it and look at it and got in touch with Steve Benson and mentioned that she had a book and needed an illustrator. And she was having a problem with her illustrator. And that Steve Benson said that he had an illustrator, which was me.
Oh.
So he sent me the words. I asked him to send me the words so I can view them and see what I can do with them. So he sent me the words. I looked at them. I said, okay, let me take them home, see what I can do with them. I took them home for about 3 days. Drew and illustrated just a sample page, dropped it off at Steve's house, set it on his table before he came in. So when he came in, he walked by it and was shocked that I was able to take the words and turn them into the pictures that Kim wanted. So he emailed them to Kim.
And she liked them.
And she took it from there.
Oh, they were perfect. Yeah, yeah. They were absolutely perfect.
Well, you know, if you could get an idea of what those words sounded like, maybe I could get an idea for our listeners who don't have the book in front of them. How a phrase or a sentence would lead to a picture on this.
Okay.
I mean, for example, we have the book here, and if we do hear any ruffling of pages, that's okay because this is a book and we want you to hear it. It's a large book, too.
Yes, it's about 45 pages long.
And the size of the book itself in terms of it's bigger than, is it 8.5 by 11?
It's 8.5 by 11.
Okay.
Nice and big for the kiddies. Okay, this is an example of some of the phrases I sent to Stephen. Huey is a rainbow-colored dot that ventures into different neighborhoods to play with dots that are different than he is, and each dot is a different color. So this phrase would come from the red dots. The reds like to roll on top of their heads. When Huey asked to play with them, they just laughed and said, "You have to be red to roll on your head. You can't play with us, Huey, until you paint your head red. You have to be red, red, and red to roll on your head."
And what did you do with that?
Well, when I saw the words, I just saw the action in my head. And once I started drawing the pictures, and as I, Kim sent me some pictures, or I've seen some of hers, and you know, as we children, we write little dots with legs on them.
Yeah.
So I was laughing about
it.
That's basically what I had. Right. So I said, let me take them and I'll do something with them. And the same with the publisher, Steve Benson. He basically had the same vision of a dot with legs on it. So mm-hmm. I took the dots and made them round and put legs on them and had them doing movements and action. and basically brought the words to life.
But those dots are nice and round, and they're fairly large. They're not the little beanie dots.
Yes.
That's right.
And they each have legs. And I'm looking at as you read at some of those things, and I just get so interested in what Huey looked like. What kind of dots did Huey have, though, before you got to the red dots? Yeah, what was Huey?
Well, Huey was always a rainbow-colored dot because my idea for Huey was that he encompassed all the colors and that he wasn't like any of the other dots. So it would be very difficult for him just to fit in just by looks alone. So he was always multicolored.
So before he went out to see those red dots, what we know from the book is that Huey was more than one color.
That's right.
That's correct.
We could talk what that means, actually, and as we go along. But get another one of the dots and see. That we know what the red dot was. They were rolling on their heads. They're rolling
right.
on their heads. What's another one?
Okay, well, then Huey ran into the blues who liked to dance the bloogaloo.
I love that, the bloogaloo.
Yes.
That's a nice one.
And I had envisioned blue dots doing all sorts of dancing and kind of like bluesy. But Daniel took it to another level and provided instruments, actually, for them to play.
Oh, I see that now.
Yeah.
And you even have notes on top of their little house.
Oh, that's correct. Well, when you see someone dancing, a lot of time it has to be some music around. So why not have them dancing as though they're like in a parade or some type of show and they're having fun? So children like to have fun and see action, especially when there's so much color in the book. You have to show some type of laughter and fun, and I think they would enjoy that.
And they're smiling.
But yes, they are.
What's happening to Huey there?
Well, Huey's asking the blue dot if he can play, if he can do the boogaloo too. And they're basically telling him that you have to be blue to boogie with blue. To dance the boogaloo, you have to be blue. And to be blue, you must be cool.
And poor Huey.
And poor Huey. He can't understand it.
It's funny and yet it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
it
isn't
is.
It,
isn't it?
So one more of these, and then because there are several. Now we run from the red to the blue, and what's the next one that you pick up?
Well, then Huey goes to the neighborhood of the Greens, who like to swing on the vines that hang down from the trees.
Mm.
And again, Huey asks the Greens if he can play with them too.
And what do they say?
They say, Huey, you have to be green to swing from the vines that hang down from the trees. Everyone knows you have to be green.
And what does that do to Huey?
That makes Huey very, very sad and disgusted.
And you capture that in your illustration here, because his mouth is all, and his eyes and all, and he just doesn't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yes, every encounter that Huey ran into with the other colors, and they wouldn't let him play. He just showed an expression as though he's sad, as a child would do if he weren't allowed to play with the gang, play in the game and have fun with the other children, because he was a little different. So Huey is saying that I'm sad, but I could be happy if you let me play with you. But they still would not let him play.
So does he back off of going to look for friends?
No.
No, he continues.
He continues.
What does he do next?
Oh, he goes to the neighborhood of the Browns. And the Browns like to run around on the ground.
This illustration is very interesting.
Isn't it?
Okay, thank you.
You have him running up a hill with a finish line at the end of it. But not Huey.
No.
What did they say?
They tell him he has to be brown to run around on the ground.
And Huey is really very, very sad, just like any child would be. Right?
Very discouraged.
What does he say, though? He says, at the bottom of that page, on page 20 there, you say, I am not painting my head brown just to run around on the ground.
That's right.
He's not going to change.
He's not going to change.
I am who I am.
Yes. And then, I like this next one in particular. I think this is really cool.
Everyone loves
Everybody loves the yellows.
What's the yellow all about? Where are the yellows? Where are they operating?
The yellows like to lay on the beach and wear sunglasses and just tan and relax all day.
And you have a word there that rhymes with yellow.
Right.
And that is?
And they like to be mellow.
That's right. And Huey asked the yellows if he too could lie on the sand, wear sunglasses, and be mellow while getting a tan.
Yeah.
And what did they say?
They say, man, you have to be yellow to really be mellow.
Hmm.
Yellow is the color that goes hand in hand with the sand.
And I think Huey's having a hard time by this time. He really is upset. He doesn't know what to do.
What is going on with these people, you know? Yeah.
So before he resolves and we resolve what happens on that, what is all this saying and why this part of all this rejection, what does that actually mean that you feel is important for people to understand and for children to know?
I think it's very important for children to understand that they do not have to change in order to play with a group of kids. That if there's a kid that is different, a different color, a different size, a different economic status, that they should open up their hearts and their minds to allow that kid to play with them. And also on the other side, it's telling the kid that's viewed as different that it's okay to be who you are, and you don't have to change to play with anybody.
But they're not at that point yet, because they're actually saying, we reject you.
Yeah.
And what does it do to reject and to feel that, you know, what I have in order to be mellow, I know who I am because I'm yellow, and I am the person. I am the man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a rejection.
That can mess with a child's self-esteem.
Yes.
It's a self-esteem issue.
And on the other side, what you show is that the dots are saying that they are better than anybody else. That is, if you have to be mellow,
you have
to be yellow.
Correct.
Okay. And you're listening now to University Forum. I'm Jean Moore with my guests, Ms. Kim Branch and Mr. Daniel Ramsey. And we're talking about a very colorful book with a deep message that it's giving to people, and especially to children. You have this book for children primarily?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What gave you the idea, Ms. Branch, of doing this? Was there anything in your own interaction, either as a child growing up or what you saw happening outside, that made you do this?
Well, a couple of different things. As a child growing up in the 60s and the 70s, when I went to school, I experienced racism. I was made to feel that because I was African American, that I was not as good as the Caucasian kids that were at my same school, different things that they used to tease me about, like the pigmentation in my skin. But I was always happy with my color, you know, no matter what anybody had told me, because that's the way my parents used to raise me. And just looking around at the kids today and just looking at the different sayings that the different races have, and in particular the different sayings in the negative sayings that are even in the African-American race about being black and ugly, namely what that must do to a child who is dark complexion growing up, you know, that whole phrase just, you know, is enough to destroy a child's self-image. So I wanted to try to find a way to teach children positiveness about their color at a very early age, to give them the strength that they're going to need to deal with the issues that they're going to have to deal with in life.
Now, you're talking about color both within a race and across racial lines.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some people don't talk about that very much, but it does exist, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I recently met someone who was a therapist who was treating somebody because of the impact of the racism within the race and the darkness of color.
Yeah, which I find amazing at times, just the racism as a race. I can't speak for any other race except for African-American, but I know just growing up the racism that occurs just in the African-American race, the light skin versus dark skin, for example, it's just plain silly to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. But very, very real and hurtful to those who are involved in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Ramsey, did you have similar kinds of experiences growing up? Where did you grow up?
West Oak Lane.
In the Philadelphia area?
Yes, West Oak Lane, off of 65th and O'Gans.
Okay.
And basically in that area, and how I grew up, it was mostly just African-American where I grew up at. So what I learned was basically from my community. In my area.
Mm-hmm. But so. you had a real feel of what Ms. Branch has put into this book. You've taken that language and shown a way to deal with it. I have a good question, I think, though.
Okay.
And that has to do with, does Huey become multiracial? Are we designating him as someone who is comprised of all these different groups?
He's actually comprised of all the different groups.
What is that saying, though?
That's saying he's like the impetus that teaches them to all be together at the end. So that, to me, it's saying that we are all made up of a rainbow full of colors and that we have attributes that are different. However, we can still get along.
Mm. Did all of the groups here represent any race or what? Did the dots have any racial implications?
I believe so. I believe not your typical racial, but I try to keep it general enough so that any race can deal with it. So it's not in particular to specific African American race, for example, or Hispanic. However, we are different colors and we all have different cultures. So I try to make the different dots represent like a different culture. In Dottonville, mm-hmm. like the Reds like to roll on top of their heads and the Blues like to dance the boogaloo. So each dot had a different type of thing that they like to do in their own culture.
I kept wondering whether Huey is colorless or is he color more? What is he as an identifiable person, or do you identify him in terms of color? What do you think?
Well, I think that... The reason why I colored Huey with all the colors of all the dots that he interacted with was basically, as Kim said, to show that we all may be different in some ways, but in a lot of ways we are alike. Hmm. So basically that Huey, he's there as an example to others that no matter what you look like, no matter how you, your weight, the way you look, your color, anything, that we all have some similar identity within ourselves, even though it may not be on the outside, within, we all have something that is alike.
Have you shared this at this point with youngsters?
Yes, I have.
What kind of reaction are you getting?
Oh, I shared it with my great niece, mm-hmm. who is all of four. And as I was reading the book to her, she, I should have really brought her with me today. She couldn't understand, like it was becoming frustrating for her as I was reading it. Why are they asking him to change his colors? He has a stripe of red in him. She would point out he has a stripe of red in him. Why must he be all the way red? And, you know, and I had to explain to her that all the other dots were completely red and that's the way they wanted him too. Well, that's not fair, Aunt Kim, is what she said.
Is that
you
right?
Know? Yeah, and I did a book reading at the Intercultural Family Center this summer, and that was really great because all of the kids there were multi-ethnic. And I got a really good question from them. They asked me if there was another rainbow-colored dot in Dottonville, would Huey still try to find another dot of a single color to play with?
What a wonderful question. What was your answer to that?
I said that Huey would still try to find a dot of a different color to play with because Huey just wanted to play, and he really didn't care what color the dot was that he played with.
So he would play notwithstanding any changes or even if he saw somebody that looked just like him?
That's right.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that
I thought that was very interesting.
That's a marvelous, marvelous question. What do you anticipate that you'll be finding? What age groups are interested in this? You mentioned now your great niece, who is four.
Who is four. I think it's preschool on up to the age of eight. A coworker of mine had his son, who is 8 years old, do a book report on my mm-hmm. book. And he thought the book was absolutely fabulous because it teaches you to stick up for yourself. And that's really what it's all about for me, to stick up for yourself and to be happy with who you are.
But the other side of it is not just what happens to Huey.
Right.
It's what happens to the others, right?
That's right.
What is it teaching the others?
It's teaching the others to be more tolerant of people who are different than they are.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, they go a step further. They suddenly find that there are so many different things that they can do to play
That's
with
right.
each other.
That's
correct. Because
right.
it's not just Huey. It's
That's
the
right.
other dots.
That's right.
Now, what's your thought upon this symbolism? Because we are talking symbolically here in many ways. just spread that out a little bit for me more about the symbolism of this whole thing.
Well, the symbolism is not to really be narrow-minded and to open up your mind and your heart to understand people who are different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard. I think even to even take it a step further with kids these days, sometimes if they don't have a certain kind of sneaker or phone, they're excluded from a certain kind of group. I had saw on the news one day where there was a group of young girls who were anorexic, and you couldn't eat but so much food to belong to this group, you know, and this was a popular group at school, you know. And for a kid that's just trying to belong, they might consider changing themselves in order to be with the popular group. Okay. You know what I mean? They might feel like they've got to do this to get along at school. And I'm trying to teach kids that you don't have to do that. You can just be happy with yourself. And if that group can't accept you as you are, then maybe you don't need to be with them.
So it really has a much broader meaning than looking at the differences in facial or color.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah. That's the good thing about this book.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you got together, you told me how you started out and you're getting the illustrations and all that. At what point did you feel you had come to closure now? Did you write all of the narrative part of it before you
yes.
actually had it?
Yes, about 3 years before I even met Daniel, I had written out the book. Mm-hmm. And I had gone through a process of trying to just get it published on my own. But a lot of the publishers wanted to see an illustration with the text. Mm-hmm. And I did run across an illustrator prior to Daniel, and the scheduling between himself and myself, it just didn't work out.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah. Thank you. Whoever you are.
But actually, he wrote in the beginning, the illustrator that did not do the illustrator wrote a little message in the beginning of the book.
I see that. Yes.
Yes.
That's in the very, very beginning.
That's in the very beginning.
So, yes.
When I told him that I
That's
had found another illustrator, he sent me a letter and he prayed that my book interacted with kids, basically.
Well, I was wondering who that was. I was going to ask you because it's as a man establishing my way, I am endeared to Huey. And I pray for his realization and activation for people everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what better PR could you get?
That's right.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's right.
Now, tell me a little bit about Aunt Kimmy's Chronicles. What is Aunt Kimmy's
Chronicles? Aunt Kimmy's Chronicles is my self-publishing company. And what I plan to do with that is write books and promote books that help kids. Give kids positive imagery.
Oh, are you going to write most of them yourself?
I'm going to write most of them myself, but I am looking at a certain point. I'll be looking for authors, other authors too.
I saw the website and it said something other things about you. You have other kinds of talents. Tell me a little bit more about the things that you do. Because you're looking for performances of a certain kind?
Yes, I also sometimes I do voice work and I like to act. As a hobby in my past.
What kind of acting do you do?
I like to do any kind of acting that they will allow me to do. I've been in a couple of independent films and independent plays, mm-hmm. basically.
Is she good, Mr. Ramsey?
I haven't seen. I would love to see this. I believe she's good at it.
Now, your background, Ms. Branch, though, you're a graduate of what school?
Temple University.
Okay. And the department there?
Radio, television, and film.
All right. So you have that background behind you.
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey, where did you learn to do all of your illustration and crafting?
I started when I was very young, just doodling with the pencil and pen. And then I knew I used to draw comics real good. I used to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And how I began to do the children's book illustration is that I have like 11 other children books that I've done, and I'm trying to get them out there. Mm-hmm. And I was doing illustration and trying to work with different publishing companies. The way that they want 80, 90% of the royalties, it was I couldn't. I just didn't want to give my work away like that. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to find out how I can self-publish it, same as Kim.
Yeah.
And that's how we basically ran into each other, because I just, although the publishing company somewhat tried to discourage you from trying to get in the door, I continued to do my work. Mm-hmm. I just continued to make the book after book.
Perseverance. No matter what they said, you knew who you were.
That's right. I know eventually.
You had a good case about
who I am.
Yeah, right.
I'm just like Huey.
That's right.
Would you like to give your website or your email or anything for those who are listening, whatever you like?
Yes, I would like to let everybody know that I am very happy to be the incredible Huey Me. Is available at AuntKimmy'sChronicles.com, and it's also available at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com as well. Aunt Kimmy, just spell that one out for
okay. It's AuntKimmy'sChronicles.com.
Okay, so it's whatever it is spelled incorrectly in the sense that you use K's instead of C's.
That's right. I use all K's.
Well, as we wind down to end our program, is there anything else you'd like to leave with our guests who are listening?
Yes, I'd like Daniel will probably like to leave his information should anyone need an illustrator.
Yes, if anyone needs an illustrator, I can be reached at Dr. Ramsey, which I say Dr. Ramsey, it's easier to remember, _3@hotmail.com. I'll say that again, Dr. Ramsey, _3@hotmail.com. That is my email address. If you have any questions or anything, just send them to my email and I will get right back to you.
And thank I also you. Would like to say, never give up on your dreams.
Yes,
always
definitely.
Follow them.
Always believe in yourself.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your coming. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Jean Moore. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email at jemoore@wrti.org. Or call my voicemail 215-204-4376.